Pocket.
And we're back here on News Radio KMAN, once again on In Focus, and this time we're speaking with the Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council, Perry Wiggins, and it's always a pleasure to have you on to speak about military affairs and what's going on with the military installations in the state of Kansas, and as we were talking during the break, sir, redeployments. The global stage is a very interesting place right now, and as you mentioned, you know, people from Kansas, some of our soldiers from our installations, they go on to do some very crucial things on a global scale, and we have people deploying, we have people coming back, and what exactly is going on right now, and what's that going to do for the state?
Well, this is an exciting time for our military and for our families, for that matter, with the 1st Infantry Division. We just had the 1st Combat Aviation Brigade in April that came back. They did some incredible work in Afghanistan, and now they're kind of reintegrated with their families. They probably enjoyed the 4th of July, going, some of them, back to their home states and enjoying time with families. And we have the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team that just is starting and I think probably completed their return from Korea, which, as you know, if you read the newspapers or if you've listened to your radio show or even the television, Korea is a pretty interesting place. So our soldiers coming back from that particular mission, we're standing on point for this nation. And so it's good to have them back home.
Well, and I was reading the other day, and, you know, of course, when you mentioned it's impossible to avoid news about Korea at this point. And you talk about the DMZ there on the border between North and South Korea. How many American soldiers are in that zone, and how many soldiers from Fort Riley are there?
Well, we did have 3,700 out of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team. They're not there anymore. But they were supporting that mission and really the defense of South Korea and really the Pacific in general. We have soldiers that are forward deployed, of course, as a deterrence, because that gentleman over there in North Korea, as everybody knows, is a little unstable. And so it's not just ballistic missiles that happen over in North Korea. That demilitarized zone is a pretty dicey area. And our soldiers train very, very hard to prepare for that mission. When they go over there, it's a very anxiety-driven time. Because it's an unknown adversary. He's very unpredictable. And that's what makes the mission so difficult.
Well, and something else that's exciting, I think we're returning soldiers tomorrow at Fort Riley. They're probably en route somewhere in the world right now, ready to make their way back to Fort Riley, Kansas. What do you think the return of the Demon Brigade to Fort Riley is going to do here in the short time for the region?
Well, I think it adds energy. And they're ready to come back and visit restaurants they haven't been to in a long time. They're ready to go visit places and see movies that they haven't seen. And so I think for the community itself, what you get is an energy. You see families starting to bond together. You see them visiting establishments that they haven't seen in a long time. 9 months is a long time to be away from home. And Korea has a lot of amenities, but it's just not home.
Well, and I think one thing I've realized during my time in Manhattan, you don't necessarily realize they're gone until they get back. And when you see just an uptick of action in the community, you kind of look around and realize, oh, well, these people have been out of the area. And I think that's probably fairly noticeable, you know, in the city and county's pocketbooks as well. When you talk about people coming back and spending a little bit of that money, speaking of money, too, I think one thing that people are probably really curious about is the budget. And the budget proposals, and what exactly is that going to do for the military? Because that's not only going to impact, you know, national security, but it impacts us here as well.
No, you're exactly right. The economic impact of the military to this community, Central Flint Hills, is significant. It's 41 to 45%, whoever you talk to, but that's still significant. And so when we start talking about budget, and right now it looks like, you know, what the president submitted, and then what it gets washed around. What it will finally end up being, and it's looking like it might possibly be, is about 5,000 additional active component soldiers for our Army that will come into the force, and then 500 for National Guard and 500 for Reserve. I don't know if that will stick. We'll see. You know, it's kind of in the process right now. But one good thing I think that's coming out of this particular budget is really the kind of stopping of sequestration, the reversal. We were on a glide path going to 420,000 soldiers. That's significant when you think about it. And now we've kind of stopped that, and we're starting to see an increase. And that's primarily because of the unpredictability that you see around the world. We have over 140,000 or 190,000, excuse me, soldiers of all components throughout the world standing on point in 140 different countries. That is not a world at peace. And our soldiers know that, and so do their family members.
It's interesting, too, when you look at it from the perspective, you read the news and you read about what's going on in Iraq and Syria, or you read about North Korea. There are other large militaries in the world right now. When you look at the influence that the Russian military, for example, has on the conflict in Syria and Iraq, how do you think that impacts what the United States is doing right now?
Well, I mean, it's not just the size of militaries. It's the technology. When you think about the United States military, we've had some equipment, the Apaches, the M1 Abrams tank, the Bradley fighting vehicle. Those have been around a significant period of time, and we've continued to improve on those systems. But at some point in time, our adversaries are continuing to improve their equipment, and we never want parity on the battlefield. We always want to have the best technology, and we've always had that. You know, to me, when we go into battle, we want to assure success because second place is not a place you want to be on the battlefield. Normally, if you come in second place, you've done it at a great cost of lives and a great deal of suffering.
When you talk about equipment, what all has been done recently at Fort Riley in reference to drone technology and unmanned aerial systems? Just because I remember they've been speaking with the FAA to maybe just open up a little bit more space here in the Flint Hills region to train on some of those. And what's the status? Is that a program that's going to be expanding anytime soon?
Absolutely. I mean, we don't have enough UAVs. Intelligence really is a huge factor on the battlefield, and those unmanned aerial vehicles provide that intelligence. Now, at Fort Riley, they have their systems there on Marshall Army Airfield. A lot of people traveling down I-70 see something that looks out of a science fiction movie traveling beside them on I-70. That's those airframes coming out of Marshall Army Airfield. The goodness about Fort Riley, Kansas, is they've created a corridor between Fort Riley and Smoky Hill Range Complex. The FAA has worked with us to establish that. It provides great training. One thing that we're doing as well is we're working with the FAA and with Smoky Hill Range Complex to expand that corridor all the way out to the Colorado border if we can to replicate realistic training distances for our operators.
Well, and that would be important just because, you know, you talk about the distance from Fort Riley to Salina. That's maybe 60 miles, and on a battlefield, I would assume you're dealing with distances much greater than that. So to be able to make that sort of a training accessible to our soldiers, I would think that would be something that people would really want to investigate and invest in Fort Riley in that aspect, don't you think?
I think so. Yeah, with the Gray Eagle system, it has such a great range. So you have to operate at those ranges to create that realism. And our operators need that training. And so that's why here in the state of Kansas, we work hard to accommodate our military and their realistic training requirements because that increases readiness. So these corridors are critical. We're going to continue to push to expand. And one thing about Kansas is we have communities out there that support our military, so we don't get a whole lot of noise complaints. They understand the importance of our military training, and that is critical to our installations and specifically to Fort Riley.
Well, I think that's one – you bring up a good point. That's one thing I've noticed from our municipal governments. It's, the joint land use study, for example. That's been something that's been done between Fort Riley and the counties of the Flint Hills, and it's something as simple as building your house with the right kind of windows if you're close enough to the sound zone.
That's right. Encroachment's a huge thing, and it impacts training. John Cyrillic, who just recently returned out of the 1st Combat Aviation Brigade, one of the things he said in the welcome home speech was, you know, we're going to get after training. You know, they just returned, but it's important to maintain that proficiency. And one of the little caveats he said was, so when you hear the helicopters in places where you haven't heard them in a long time, because there's going to be a lot of flying, just understand that's them getting prepared for the next fight, because that's what we do in our militaries. We fight and win our nation's wars.
And you talk about some of the redeployments that have gone on recently. We're going to have some soldiers going to Europe in the fall, correct?
Well, that's true. We're going to have 2nd Brigade, the Daggers, going to go to Europe, and that's going to be a very, very interesting mission, I believe, for them. They're going to enjoy that mission. But, you know, we used to have a lot of formations forward deployed into Germany, and so they knew the terrain, that they understood the mission. The Dagger's going to go in there. They've had to learn that. They've done an incredible job, I understand, at National Training Center. They are one of the first to take it to the OPFOR there, the opposing forces. And so they're highly trained. They're very prepared. And when their soldiers get there, they're going to have some great missions in support of really some allies that haven't had U.S. flags standing side by side with them in a long time.
Well, and what kind of opposition are they going to be facing when you talk about Europe, when you talk about maybe some of their allied forces? What kind of threats are they going to be facing over there?
Well, the big thing is the Russians, right? I mean, the Russians as an actor have been trying to impose their will on their neighbors, and they've been emboldened because they haven't had the U.S. flag sitting across the border from them. You know, it's a lot like football. You know, when you step onto the field, there's some football teams out there. When you step on it, you know that they're the best. And so that's the bottom line with the United States military. When they step onto the battlefield of Europe, the Russians know the United States military is the best.
Well, and you know, in these past few months, there's been obviously a lot of talk about the Russians as far as, you know, are they friendly? Are they not? And it's probably becoming increasingly clear to just about everyone who reads the news that, you know, the Russians, no, they're not going to change their mind. They're not going to be friendly to us. Do you think we're entering another Cold War era where force buildups, you know, such as what the Dagger is going to be doing in Europe, is that going to become something that we're going to see more of, that's going to become increasingly important?
Well, we all hope not. You know, I'll tell you, nobody prays for peace more than a soldier. But, you know, it's hard to predict what the Russians will do. It's been that's been a long relationship that we've had with them. And it's been ups and downs. So I'm sure we'll continue to see Russians operating in their best interest, not ours.
Well, it's 9:50 here at News Radio KMAN. You're listening to In Focus. We're speaking now with the Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council, Perry Wiggins. Phone in those questions, 785-537-1350. We'll be right back.